just when you think the world cannot get any more crazy than it is, it happens.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
There are times I wonder, how long can this world survive? Especially the Western world. The things that I'm seeing happen today would be impossible to even believe 25 years ago. Especially 30 or 40 years ago, or when I was graduating high school almost 50 years ago. The world has changed. And in spite of all of our technology, it has not changed for the good. Took a day off from the news. I really did. In preparing a radio program like this, one of the things that can become very wearing on the heart and on the mind, and that's when you want to say, Lord, help me to hold out. How am I going to get through all of this when I have to look and deal and read and see all of this satanic sickness that is all over this world? Lord, help me to hold out. I understand that message now for the first time in my life, really. We're in a time unprecedented in the human race, except maybe the days of Noah. We'll talk about that in a couple of moments. My wife and I decided the other day, I needed to take a day away from the news. I decided that morning, no, not going to watch it. Barely read any news stories, just a few in the morning. And I saved a few of them for today's program. Just when I saw the one story and it just hit me between the eyes. Actually, there were a couple of stories that just came to me and I saw them and I'm going, Lord, please come soon. We can't sustain this much longer. This life, this world full of sin and evil, the satanic leadership we find in many nations today, satanic, that's what it is, purely satanic. And you have all these major corporations that have gone on the woke bandwagon. I saw a story and I'm going, when does this insanity, when does this stuff end? Only when Jesus returns is my belief. Anybody that is saying, you know, we'll get it all fixed at the ballot box in 2020 in 2022 here in the United States, you're fooling yourself. I'm going to say a few things that you may not want to hear, but it's the truth. I saw 15 Republicans, and I know this broadcast is being heard in many parts of the world, so just kind of bear with me for about 30 seconds here. I saw 15 supposed conservatives looking to study the insurrection at the Capitol building, which was never an insurrection, the riots that killed people and burned millions upon millions of dollars in property. Now, that was an insurrection. But when you burn police cars and buildings and shoot people dead, that's a peaceful protest because we have the Luciferian leftist. And that's what they are. The left in the world today has become the Luciferian leftist. And they put pressure. They put campaigns and they put guilt trips on all these corporations. And sadly, too many of these corporations have no backbone. They cave, they fold like a cheap suit, as the old saying goes, that many people said years ago. They fold up like a cheap suit. They cave in. They give in to the woke, noisy crowd. That's a minority crowd, by the way. They're really not that big of a crowd. They just make a lot of noise to get their way. And so I run across this news story the other day that just really... It broke my heart. I'm thinking about children, grandchildren, and yeah, in my case, great-grandchildren. And this story that I kind of ran across, I'm just going to give you a few highlights. I did some checking to double-check its accuracy, and it is. You know, it's like the article said, you just can't have nice things anymore. With companies going woke, and I pray to God they go broke when they go woke. You have toy companies, embracing fantasy and awakening literally sleeping demons in your home now. I can remember, I never played with them much because I had other toys that I kind of preferred 50 some odd years ago, more like 60 years ago now. Legos. You remember Legos? You know, the little American classic toy made out of plastic that had, you know, you could build all kind of stuff out of Legos. They've now joined the ranks of those that despise and curse God. They despise conservatives. They despise Christians. They despise, well, normal families. They're into all this nonsense. They have a new version of their toy called Everyone is Awesome. That's their new toy. Everybody is awesome. And it sounds good on the surface. I mean, it really does. But is it really true? Lego is now following a long line of companies that are producing toys designed to indoctrinate children into the life of sodomy. In other words, this is the LGBTQ version of rainbow Legos. I kid you not. I kid you not. I'm looking at the actual pictures from Lego for their brand new toy. And it's the rainbow set. You know, it's designed to normalize to your children the concept of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. We've been on this pathway for a long time in this nation. For a long time. God's judgment is coming. I saw some other stories today, and I'm going to get to them. I don't have a whole lot of news stories in front of me. I just have a whole lot on my heart to share with you today. It was amazing. Go back to 2019, Mattel. And I can remember, you know, having toys from companies like Mattel and Hasbro and others. And they're all getting into this insanity, this satanic sickness. This Luciferian way of doing business as they try to steal our children and pull them into sodomy, pull them into hating God, pull them into all this stuff that the Bible forbids. And we wonder in the United States and Canada and the United Kingdom and all over Europe, why homosexual teens are committing suicide at alarming rates. They've been indoctrinated into a life of confusion that has no hope apart from adding to that confusion. Let's be honest. Nobody enjoys being sexually confused. And teaching children that it's okay to be something you are not is the ultimate confusion. It's absolute satanic insanity. Yet we have all these companies embracing this satanic age and celebrating it. And this should not be unexpected. I mean, you shouldn't be shocked by hearing what I'm saying about toys for young children. My question is, when can we allow children once again to be children? Why do they need to be sexualized from the day that they're born? Why do we need woke parents that have given their lives to Satan? They may claim they're atheists. They may claim they believe in nothing. But in actuality, many of them have literally become Satan's minions. When you have a mother that there's a couple, you've heard about them. You can't find out much now because of a gag order going on, but there's a couple that is separated and divorcing, and the father has, you know, his rights every week or two to have their son on the weekend. And I think the son is, you know, like 7 or 8 or some really young age. And the mother decides that he's transgender and needs to become a girl. And so the two of them are fighting over should they allow chemical castration and all kinds of surgeries for a little boy that just was curious about what it is to be a girl. He has not had puberty. He's not old enough to understand this. This is child abuse. This is satanically inspired Luciferian child abuse. And we as a nation in the United States, in Canada and the United Kingdom, our governments are promoting it and pushing it and celebrating it and demanding you accept it. The fascists that run social media, you dare step on those tenets that homosexuality is thoroughly normal and having two fathers or two mothers is a totally normal experience. If you go against that and say what it says in the scripture, I mentioned it on yesterday's program. About a week or so ago, I saw a video of a street preacher in London, England, reading from scripture what Jesus had to say, that a man leaves his mother and father and a woman leaves her home, and that's considered hate speech. He was arrested. He was taken away and put in jail for quoting what the scripture says. And you're saying, well, Bob, that'll never happen where I live. Maybe you live in the United States. Maybe you live in Canada. Maybe you live somewhere in the eastern part of Africa, South Africa. It's coming, my friends. It's already there. And the church of the woke, I'm telling you, we have churches today, in the world today. We have churches that are nothing more today than synagogues of Satan. That's what they become. The spirit of the Holy Spirit of God is gone. Their lampstand is gone. Jesus has left the building. And they are unrepentant in their ways. And their fate, unless they repent, their eternal fate is sealed. I run into a lot of stories. And I'm looking at one, another one. And this one I found very disturbing to me for a number of reasons. I was raised as a young child as a Lutheran in a fairly conservative branch of the Lutheran Church that you'd find in the United States, the Missouri Synod. There are a couple of other fairly conservative church backgrounds. And I saw this story. Now remember, you got to, if you understand and have studied some of the Reformation history, I'm not asking you to fully believe or accept or anything, but any particular denomination. But if you went back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, what were Lutherans teaching around the world? For the most part. Now, I understand that there are a lot of people that are in a church, but they're not Christians themselves. I get that. But when the rot and the sin and the Satanism starts at the top and just works its way down to the congregations, we have a great falling away. The Church of Sweden. The Church of Sweden. And, you know, you got to look at my background. This really hits my heart and soul. I have in my bloodline, you know, I am from that part of where Germany meets Sweden, going way back in my bloodline, about 100 years. The Church of Sweden, which is the largest Protestant denomination in a country, in that country, and the largest Lutheran denomination in Europe, announced this week it is now a trans church. Did you hear what I said? It is now a trans church. And here's what they say in an open letter. We are writing to you from a church that is now trans, a church made up of people. People are different. We have confirmands, employees, church wardens, elected representatives, parishioners who define themselves as transgender. Thus, the church now consists of transgender people. Therefore, the church can be now described as trans. Now, let's understand one thing I don't agree with, never will agree with, is any kind of a state-operated church. That includes the Church of England. And up until about 2000, the Church of Sweden was the official state church where all newborn children were officially made members unless the parents canceled the membership. And they have become like many other apostate denominations that you find across Lutheranism today, like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America with their lesbian pastors. The Church of Sweden has walked away. They've abandoned the scripture. They've abandoned everything that God requires. There is no life. There is no health in them. This whole transgenderism is something that, if you're my age, when was this a thing? When did it start coming into our lexicon? It came into our lexicon during the Obama years in the United States. Matter of fact, a lot of evil, sin, and reprobate stuff occurred between 2009 and when he left office in 2017. When Obama said, I'm going to bring fundamental change, he really meant it. And this is all Luciferian and satanic change. Now, I'm not saying Republicans are somehow godly. There's a lot of Republicans that are very ungodly. I'm just saying that as a party, the Democrats have sold their soul to Satan, and they are not ashamed of it. They're proud of it. They're the party of baby killers. They believe in abortion, yet they want to come to their churches and receive communion and forgiveness, and God still loves me, and God's okay with my abortion. God's okay with killing children. It's all right. Jesus would probably do it himself if he identified as a woman. This is the kind of... The Bible talks about the reprobate mind. And I've talked about it a lot on this program over the past couple of years. We are seeing the reprobate minds taking charge of our governments, taking charge of what formerly were Bible-believing churches. Look, there's even some wokeness coming into the Southern Baptist Church. It's getting a little on the scary side out there. And those that are true believers in Jesus Christ are becoming the minority. A real tiny minority. And let me make it really clear why I say that and why I say this with such urgency. There are so many people that consider themselves Christians, and they may belong to a Methodist church. They may belong to a Presbyterian church or a Lutheran church or the Episcopal church, you name it. And they're attending churches that have accepted all of this satanic gospel. They've accepted a new social gospel, which St. Paul clearly states is not the gospel. It's an anathema. It is accursed. We now have, look at the United States, where only 47% of the population even identify any longer with a church or a synagogue or even a mosque. That means 53% of the United States admittedly don't believe. They reject Christ. And in many cases, they curse them. in Europe, and I saw this coming 20 years ago, because Europe, this humanism that has been an undercurrent for decades there, Europe really doesn't have a true church left to proclaim the gospel. The witness of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world is gone. There's nobody to, we need missionaries to get into Europe. There's a dark cloud in my mind over Europe, and it's now come to America. The Washington National Cathedral is a sewer of Satan with the things that go on in that building. All over the United States, let's look at the 47% that claim to be affiliated with a church. Well, you start breaking that number down, you find out that more than half don't even attend. They don't care. They kind of identify, I was born this. Yeah, I was baptized there as a kid, and I got married there, and I guess when somebody dies, we go to a funeral. They're not really believers. They believe in themselves, their careers. They believe in everything that the world has to offer. They are truly a part of this world. They're not just in it, they're of it. And they make no bones about it. Our schools that used to be very friendly to the cause of Christ. I can remember when I was in high school, we had our Christmas and Easter concert in a small town in upstate New York, and we sang Christmas carols. We sang Christian music, and nobody complained. Nobody was there to sue and shut it down. And the school officials at the time, I knew many of them that were good church-going people back in those days. They lived their faith. Now, it's hard to be a teacher in a public school in the United States and be a Christian without being mocked, ridiculed, or blackballed, as they say. You know, in other words, oh, we don't want one of those kind of people, you know, in our running our school system. Our schools now are the indoctrination center for all this evil. And like I say, I started off talking about toy companies trying to get to your children. The churches now. I shared a few weeks ago from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They have their whole, you know, celebrate gay pride stuff. And they want to teach your children about the wonders about, you know, that and how normalized it really is to be a homosexual, and it's okay. They're encouraging it. They're encouraging gender confusion. They are retrobate-minded individuals that have turned their back on Christ, and they've cursed his word. They've cursed Christ himself. They are an enemy of the cross, and they run around in their vestments. And they try to get you to be as woke as they are. Are you seeing any of the danger of this? Am I getting anywhere with you on the program today? When I sat down to do this program, I didn't think it was going to be, well, what it's turning into. But I'm beginning to recognize that this broadcast that'll be heard in more than just the United States and Canada, it needs to be heard worldwide. We have dead churches in Europe that are full of the spirit of Satan, and they're the ones that are proclaiming this false gospel. There is no witness. And darkness is coming over the land. Yet just as in the days of Noah, they laughed and they mocked until the rain started. Are you inside the ark? Or are you outside of the ark? And now for you folks that are listening in Canada, and I know that via WRMI and podcast, as long as it's still there, I know that many people are listening in Canada. I want you to hear this very carefully. Oftentimes, and let's go back to the early days of the pandemic last year. Let's go back a year, a little over a year now. We didn't know a lot, and taking some precautions and trying to understand, there's nothing wrong with that. I never was trying to tell a church, especially within our church body, that they had to do this or had to do that. I said, make a decision for now as we try to understand and assess. I never criticized a church that chose to close their doors for a period of time. But I did criticize those that thought that that was they could just shut down ministry entirely. And I got into a lot of debates with a lot of individuals that would tell me about, well, you know, the Bible says to obey those in authority. Okay, yeah, it does. And when I started talking about, you know, church, maybe you ought to consider opening back up and ignore your government. And I had people saying, well, the Bible says you have to obey the government because isn't the government ordained of God? It is. It actually is. But St. Peter makes it very clear, and this is the one part of the equation that the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians seem to forget. St. Peter made it very clear. When you come to a crossroad where it is a choice between obeying God or obeying the government, who do you obey? The government? I wouldn't. St. Peter makes it extremely clear that you are obligated, you are required, you are demanded to follow what God says, not what man says. Let me say that again in case you missed it. And don't say, well, the Bible says that, you know, governments are ordained by God, and if Gretchen Whitmer...
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
She and many other of the governors that are primarily Democrat. There were a couple of Republicans that were a little bit squirrely, but for the most part, Democrats went overboard in putting on restrictions on people, what you can and cannot do, where you could go, where you couldn't go. Churches were nailed the worst in the United States. They were just nailed the worst. You could go to a lot of other places, but churches, oh man, you can't go to a church. I shared this before. The very morally bankrupt and very disgusting mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, she really targeted churches. She found out about one church, a predominantly black church, by the way, that was meeting. And she ordered the police to tow all the cars anywhere near the church because she figured that's where the parishioners were parking. And it turned out they weren't parking there at all. She ended up towing in the cars of people that lived in neighborhoods. But her hatred and her spiting God and his people, the church had to be shut down, had to be stopped. Protest didn't. And so we saw very quickly last year, by the time we hit May, by a year ago, we started seeing the duplicity of these governments. Churches being singled out, local small business was being decimated, destroyed. Yet the Amazons and the Walmarts and the liquor stores and the big box stores, oh, they thrived. Their profits went up. But if you owned a small restaurant, you were shut out and shut down and destroyed. I'm telling you, there is a tyranny that is occurring in our nation, in Canada, in the United States, in Europe, and I'm afraid it's going to come to many places on the continent of Africa as well. It's on its way, people. It's on its way. Satan is on the march. And God's children, too many of them are absent without leave. Listen, we're going to take a break in just a moment here. I'm going to continue on this. I just feel very led of the Lord right now to share what we need to be doing because we're not doing it. And we're not getting the church has become the church wimpy, and we've got to fix it. We can't go on like this any longer. And then I'll share a few other thoughts about how we stay connected and give you some inside information on things that I'm working on that I feel very led to do, and I'd like your input as well. If you believe in this ministry, would you consider helping us with a small financial gift? You can do it one of two ways. You can do it from the website for the time being, or you can use our mailing address, which is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Once again, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman,
Yochanan, and Yeshua in a moment. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Yochanan, the real name of John the Baptist. He was, in a sense, the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was also a priest. He was also a Nazarite. And Messiah called him the greatest of those born of women. And yet, Yochanan, John, said, I immerse you with water for repentance, but he who comes after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. So here's the greatest man ever born with the greatest of ministries. And what does he focus on? Himself? No, not at all. Why not? The reason was the whole point of Yochanan's life was Messiah. Everything he stood for, everything he said, everything he did, all of it was leading up to Messiah. All of it had only one purpose, to lead to Messiah. Because for Yochanan, or John the Baptist, life existed to lead to Messiah. And that's why he was the greatest, because of all the prophets who ever came, his life, over them all, most directly led right to the Messiah. And so it is with you. You want to live a great life? Then make Jesus the object and purpose of all you do. Make him the goal, the aim, the reason. Whatever you do, do it to lead to Jesus. Whatever you do, do it to his glory. Whatever you do, do it for him. Whatever thing in your life doesn't lead to Jesus, get it out. Whatever thing you do or that you endeavor to do or spend time and energy pursuing, if it doesn't lead to Jesus, stop doing it, turn away from it, cut it off. Make your life 100% leading directly to Jesus. Your words, your actions, your works, your gifts, your endeavors, your heart, and the life you lead will lead to greatness. Now, here's something to lead you to some joy. The free gift for you, the mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it, and sapphires with the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Special teachings, updates on Israel, world events, and prophecy, and the secrets of strength and victory for every day of your life. So how do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. It's all you do. You'll be so blessed. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll love it, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and the unreached peoples on five continents with over 1 billion people. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Haba, the coming one.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Friday and weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm so glad you're with us. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got a lot on my mind in this short but second part of the program. A lot of things I want you to hear. A couple of more stories that I need to share, and you need to really understand the direction this world is going. If you believe somehow, some way, that this world can be repaired by just the correct vote, the correct world leaders coming into play, you are deceived. The Bible doesn't say we can fix the world with politicians. It says, matter of fact, the Bible says, don't put your trust in princes or the sons of men. put it into the trust, put your trust in God. But people just don't want to do it. I know a lot of people, they're conservatives. They keep saying, well, we'll fix it in 2022. Here in the United States, I don't think we can wait until 2022. The forces of Satan that are marching today are working as fast as they can to guarantee stolen and cheated elections forever. One-party rule. They're working hard. They're working hard through social media to suppress conservative speech. Anything that promotes godliness is challenged. And the narrative on any particular issue must be one narrative. You are like Nazi Germany. You're not allowed to think anything different than what the tech tyrants tell you. We live in a very, very dangerous world. The likes, I was raised, born in the 50s, raised in the 60s during the Cold War. I think I fear things today because of the reality, more so than mutually assured destruction of the Soviet Union. I think anybody with common sense looking back recognizes which one of the two nations wanted to commit suicide first, the Chinese or the Russians? I mean, it just was not going to happen. These are games played between governments and the billionaire class, unfortunately. And one of the greatest threats to that class are people that can think for themselves, people that are disobedient. I really believe there's some things to this day that I have to just say this. I came out of retirement a year ago, worked in emergency management, saw a lot of things, and it really became disturbing, the things that I saw. Number one, when I signed on board to help a county out, the numbers we were being given of who would die in the United States were astronomical. And this was all going to happen between basically, March till maybe July. So we are looking at March, April, May, June, July. Basically 5 or 6 months down the road, if you remember the hype, we were going to have millions of people dying in just a matter of months in the United States. We were being showed, which ended up being fake, but we were shown video coming out of China of people just walking down the street and suddenly collapsing and dying. And moments later, these people in their hazmat suits are scooping up the dead body that died of corona. And we all bought it hook, line, and sinker. Let's be honest. We did. We started thinking, okay, 15 days to flatten the curve, and then we can start getting back to normal, maybe by Easter, or maybe by summer, maybe never. The whole foolishness of mask wearing that came out. And churches, and this is what I want this to be driven home to you. Churches, more than any other group or institution, were the most restricted in the United States and Canada and many other parts of the world. Now, in Europe, it didn't matter because so many people don't go to church. Same in England. They don't care anymore. And it's sad. And it's becoming that way in too much of the world. I can remember back in the early 1970s, I used to go to Canada frequently. I lived in upstate New York. I had a driver's license, senior in high school. Yeah, I made a few trips across the border at the Peace Bridge. Went on to Toronto a couple of times with my friends. Canada was like much like the United States. They just had a little funny accent to a guy like me, but nice people, a free people, a prosperous people. And I enjoyed going up there. Today, Canada, when you look at how what I call the negative satanic trends come from Europe, they come into Canada, they come into parts of the East Coast and West Coast, and gradually filter their way through. The United States stays actually a few years behind Canada in terms of social wokeness. But man, this pandemic, they tried to speed it up. And that's one of the things I was trying to say. What bothered me about this pandemic was, how do we have all this stuff ready to go in case of a massive worldwide pandemic? Well, I'll go back to October of 2019, Event 201, New York City, Gates Foundation and others, including John Hopkins, and they had a simulation of what would happen if there was a worldwide coronavirus pandemic. And they practiced on how to get everybody locked down. I mean, it was all planned. This was not an accident. And I really believe the virus coming out of Wuhan, we said it on this program way back last year, when anybody that would say the virus was tampered with, gain of function, something smells rotten about this, and you start saying the Chinese were involved and even our government through third parties, I said it last year on the program. People criticize me. No, it was a bat. And somebody got sick and it got to a wet market in Wuhan. He ate the bat and then, you know, he was patient zero and the rest is history. Turns out that was a bunch of baloney. It was a bunch of nonsense. It was an out-and-out lie. And what I said a year ago on this program, even before we started the daily version, even on the weekend show, in the Politics of a Pandemic series that I did, I made the claim that all the evidence really, really points to this being a gain-of-function, played-with virus that may even have its origins going back to SARS-CoV-2003. And now we have the magic elixir vaccines. I don't trust them. Another story. We'll do that maybe next week. I'm not going to get into that today. But I'm looking at how this pandemic has been used to suppress speech, to control people, to destroy economies. The other day, we're at our little town in Georgia, and we had to do a little bit of shopping to get a few things in back on Thursday. So we go into town. And we had a few things to get done, and I realized, you know, we hadn't had lunch. We need to get something. So we're going to stop and just get something small at a little fast food place. So we pull into the first one, and we get out of the car to go in. I just don't like drive-through windows. That's just me. And the doors open, walk in, and then no one's there, and all of a sudden this woman wearing a mask, she's all in a panic. How did you get in here? Well, the door's open. Well, the dining room is closed. And she's all excited. And, you know, I'm all, what's going on? Corona again? And she said there's a sign on the door. Well, yeah, it's off to the right, and it's about the size of a postcard. And who's going to read it with about a million other signs and on the door saying what their special is and everything else? Who'd ever see it? But we got in the car and went across the street to another one. And there they had the same thing. Dining room is closed. But then on their sign, they explained why. It had nothing to do with the coronavirus. It has to do with a problem we now have in the United States of people that do not want to work. Because our stupid, insane government are paying an extra $300 a week for people to stay home, be lazy, and not work. And they can't hire enough people to even run a Burger King or a Wendy's or a McDonald's. Good grief. This pandemic has created a lazy class and a worthless class and a non-working class. They just want to stay home and play. We've created a class of people that live in fear of everything. We've created anger one against the other because of masking, which we now know never worked, never did work, and never will work. Yet people were shouting and screaming and literally attacking others who didn't wear a mask in a grocery store. And then we had pastors like the one up in Canada, Arthur Pulaski, who was jailed for having church. No doubt that Canada's taken a really sharp turn toward communism and totalitarianism, and the United States is not far behind with the leadership we have in the House, the Congress, the Senate, and the presidency. We are in deep trouble, and voting is not going to fix it because the evil spirit that reigns in the majority of the people of the United States is screaming out for God's judgment. Pastors arrested. Ireland, not long ago, has a bill, and it's like a sick joke. They've introduced legislation to require that unborn children be given, you ready for this? A painkiller before they're aborted. Now, that's kind of tells you that I guess they can feel pain. I guess they're alive. I guess they're human beings. I guess they have a soul. I guess God knows who they are in the womb. Satan seeks to destroy and to kill and to suck into hell as many as he can take with him, because he knows he's judged and he can't get away with it. But he wants to take you with him eternally. The United States, I believe, is getting ready to come under God's judgment in ways you can never begin to imagine. The Bible's clear. The Bible is clear, and we're not going to fix it at the ballot box. We're done trying to fix it at the ballot box. We have a day with destiny, and we're on our way marching toward it very rapidly. Look for the signs of his coming. They're everywhere. Look for the signs of his coming. The seasons. We're marching toward that day quicker than you want to believe. This administration, I believe, in the United States, and I pity any nation that ever turns its back on Israel. I've seen ministries that I know and used to respect turn their back on Israel. In doing so, they're going to bring God's judgment upon them. There is a judgment of God on those that curse his people, Israel. Now, they may, listen, I get it. They're blinded. Many are arrogant, non-believers, mocking God. I get it. But when God makes a promise, he does not renege on his promise. If he did, then why would we believe in a lying God? So any ministry that turns its back on Israel, any nation that has ever turned its back on Israel, pays a huge price. And this administration, and let's go back to the Obama years, supporting the Arab Spring, supporting Hamas, supporting the terrorists. I really believe this administration is going to abandon Israel and seal the fate of this nation sooner than you think. In just a matter of months, we went from energy independence in the United States to dependence and higher prices. Food prices going up. People too lazy now to work because they're getting free money to stay at home. We have built for ourselves our own disaster. We've created it. And the pandemic proved how easy it is to manipulate a significant part, actually a majority part, of the population. Take away all their freedoms and promise it back if you get the vaccine or do this or do that or do the other. Be obedient little children like the communists demanded. And you might get a little freedom, but you'll never get it all back. They can't have that. They can't have fair elections either. Satan is on the move across this land. And the time is growing short. That's why I want to do some of the things that I'm trying to build out. I realize this program as a podcast will never survive much longer. When some of the tech tyrants listen or see a transcript of what I'm saying, it's over. Thankfully, shortwave is still out there and available. Satellite is also one of those things that is the tech tyrants don't operate, believe it or not. It's not in their hands. That's why I want to create a satellite channel as well. Music, this program, and maybe a few others to help you daily. If you have Galaxy 19, this is where I'm planning to try to put it together within a week or so. God willing, keep it in prayer. We're trying as fast as we can to get it built. We are preparing for a time like we've never seen before. In 2015, I can remember April of 2015, hard to believe that six years have gone by since the White House was illuminated like a rainbow to celebrate same-sex marriage being the law of the land. Didn't matter what God's law was. And even those in governments were told, you'll have to issue the license no matter what you believe. We took history and we took what God's word said and mocked it and trashed it. God's judgment is coming, and it's coming very soon.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come back again someday. And if back then it seems so real that I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. There's war and strife on every hand. So much violence fills the land. And still some people doubt that he will ever come again. But the word of God is true. Chosen few, so don't lose hope. Soon Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere. And there's a brand new
Wow, where did this hour go? We've got a few minutes left on the program today. It was a lot to share. These things are on my mind. And I'm very concerned about the church. So much of the church went into a mode of absolute fear. They feared the virus more than God in the past year. This is worldwide, not just the United States, not just Canada, the UK, and Europe. It occurred across Africa, Australia. The church wimpy. And I say that because we're supposed to be the church militant. We are supposed to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be unashamed of that gospel, and we're supposed to proclaim that gospel. St. Peter makes it so clear. This is our primary responsibility. Yes, you obey governments. But when the government is in contradiction to the word of God, you obey God. You don't have a choice in that matter if you claim to be a follower of Christ. You can't have it both ways. The prince of the air, Satan himself, oftentimes comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing. We have false prophets everywhere, false teachers all over the world, just leading people astray. Some of the, quote, big-time, multi-million-dollar ministries with pastors worth multi-millions of dollars, more times than not, in my experience, have been false prophets teaching false doctrine, preaching another gospel which is not the gospel. And people trying to improve their lot in life, send them money, their little seed faith stuff, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, invest $1,000 in my ministry and God will make you a millionaire. What a bunch of nonsense. I can think of a number of preachers that come to my mind right now that have run that scam for decades. Then they repent and say, well, God is calling me to a pure gospel, but they fall right back into the same thing. When you live in a 17,000 square foot home and you're worth $100 million because of your ministry work, I have to wonder what is your primary motive. I don't pay myself to do this. Of course, I do understand the Bible says the workman is worth his wage. Right now, I have no particular need to be paid. The only thing I really need is some help, some of the research. That's the biggest thing. Maybe somebody can help even do the show down the road occasionally instead of me. I'd like to have a, you know, remember back in the days, some of the big-time TV hosts always had a regular guest host. Be nice to have. Pray for that. By the way, thank you for your prayers this week. As many of you knew, I was suffering either allergies or a cold, not sure, but it's breaking up. I feel a lot better than I did a couple of days ago. And maybe by the Monday broadcast, it might even sound a bit more normal than it has this week. I listened to a couple of my radio programs this week. Man, I sounded nasal. I still do. But I feel good, and that's the best part. I don't have any kind of a fever. Don't have any kind of a real issue. Just sinus and congestion. It's beginning to break up, and I'm not sure where it came from. Would you also keep me in prayer this weekend? You know you're getting old when you have not just grandkids, but, you know, you're graduating high school. Going to be attending one and driving over to South Carolina to see some family. So keep us in prayer during that time. Keep in prayer also the new project for direct-to-air satellite. It would mean a lot to me if you would let me know your thoughts on that. It's free to air. In other words, you know, you own the dish and you have a little 3-foot dish and your receiver and you can pick up. There's a lot of Christian TV channels. I don't endorse a lot of them, but that's all right. There's some that I think are actually very good. And there's a bunch of Christian radio channels there. And I hope to build one that'll feature this program and a few others and some Christian music that you have a hard time finding. Some of the stuff that I've been playing this past week. I may even share a couple of more songs next week. But keep this program in prayer. Keep me in prayer. And if you feel led of the Lord to help us a little bit with the airtime, we are going to increase the airtime sometime this summer on shortwave. I think it's still vital. If you want to help us, just remember our address here in Georgia. You can make the check out to Ancient Word Radio, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. That's our secure box. Number 263, we are located in Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. Until Monday, may God bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.